I'm Rudy Roe Dallaflo Bigliani, along with my partner Telly TJ Vangeli. This is Cross Vegas. After years of sowing seeds of faith as up-and-coming televangelists, TJ and I crashed into our new endeavor of being social mediators for the kingdom right here in Las Vegas. We're demonstrating the blessing that he wants for you in our latest project of prosperity at Cross Vegas. Come join us as we bring the redemption of riches to the Sin City. Remember, what happens here stays in heaven.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
From the makers of Cyclops Koala and Molar Bear, the South Pole Dentist, comes Elf on the Selfie. Elf on the Selfie is the world's first extended reality behavior-modifying Christmas preparatory voodoo doll. While boring old elves on shelves need to be moved around the house to create a sense of Christmassy anticipation and vague yet undying pseudo-spiritual shame, Elf on the Selfie adds the all-important world of social media. That's right, Elf on the Selfie isn't just a source of performance anxiety in your living room. It's also an AI-powered bot that haunts and taunts your children's Instagram comments and lurks and smirks in your grandchildren's TikTok replies. Kids these days are too soft, so this Christmas, make sure they're earning the right to presence, sanity, security, and love by enduring the perfect amount of automated body shaming, comparison to wealthier peers, and increasingly sarcastic put-downs that reveal their deepest fears of isolation, exposure, and inadequacy. Elf on the Selfie also comes with a great backstory. He's Survey Lance, a hard-working road surveyor for the North Pole Elven Highway Commission. His mother is a cute little industrious elf who works hard all day to meet her wooden toy quota. But inside is an icy pile of shattered dreamsicles, ready to lash out in vicarious self-hatred at anyone who looks like they might be happy. And his father was a candy cane. This Christmas, bring all the wonder and magic of Santa's authoritarian surveillance regime right into your child's most vulnerable social interactions. Elf on the Selfie, available wherever you exchange Dogecoin for fentanyl.
Well, hello, our dear listeners. We are so excited today to be able to share more of our wonderful story, of his story, here at Cross Vegas. And my man TJ, what are you feeling today?
Rudy, I feel like I am an exploited minor league baseball player who's just been called up to describe how much I'd like to be in the major leagues. That's where I'm at right now. And boy, I am ready to describe that.
You're feeling like a young man who's been living on cans of beans, and he's hoping to make it to the big show and show everyone what he's worth. Ain't that right?
That's right. We are actually going to be talking about baseball today. I can't think of anything but one at a time when it comes to these topics, and we love baseball, right? Right, Rudy, we watch it whenever we can. We try to take in the sports gambling related, at least baseball games. There's too many games a year. I think I added them up one time. I think there's in excess of 30,000 professional Major League Baseball games in any given year. Too many to watch, but you know, if you bet on them, that's what you do watch.
Yeah, it's kind of a volume game with baseball. It's a volume game. It is the beautiful game. It is the world's game. I think that, you know, we've talked a lot about football. We haven't talked a whole lot about baseball, but I'd say it really is one of our prime passions.
Yeah, and with that in mind, you know, we always been open, haven't been insistent upon this in the lore. We haven't been naming it or claiming it, but we've just been naming it and kind of sliding it in time to time with prayer bots to say, Lord, if it ever be your will, make one or both of us the commissioner of the Major League Baseball League of America. And he hasn't answered that prayer, but we think we winged the Lord a little bit, because we're in serious talks to become the general managers of a certain minor league baseball team.
Yes, that's right, and we have named it, and we are sliding it into the Holy Spirit's DMs, and we're sliding into second base head first a la Ricky Henderson, because yes, indeed, we have it on our hearts to become commissioners of a baseball league in this time and for His glory.
Amen, and there's a pre-existing structure we're kind of hopping onto here, twofold, if you will. One, from a league perspective, there's a little thing called the Pacific Coast League minor league system. And this we got teams like the Tucson Toros, Colorado Springs Sky Sox, the New Orleans Baby Cakes, Albuquerque Dukes, San Fran Seals, and the Wichita Wind Surge, which references an event that the coastal elites barely tell you about. It is like an inland hurricane, but never reaches those mainstream media outlets, even though it is just as devastating. But there's this existing structure. Don't know why it's called the Pacific Coast League. I don't really know where New Orleans is, but I'm pretty sure it's not on the Pacific Coast. It's on a coast somewhere, right?
That's right. I mean, nothing says Pacific Coast like Las Vegas, because everyone from the Pacific Coast comes over here. And I think one of the main things we're running into is we see an incredible opportunity, and it has our name written all over it, our skill set, if you will. A little bit of a cash, I wouldn't say issue, but not a whole lot of, at the moment, cash to work with. You know, we've had a couple of financial I mean, they're not problems, but they're just a few bumps in the road. Just got to move a little money here and there in order to make this all come to fruition.
And part of the reason that the money pinch, if you will, it's not a permanent crunch, it's not a breakage, it's just a little pinch from your stepsister, is really related to the fact that we have to put a little money in the bank. We didn't know that when we were starting our health, upright, healthful faith care ministries, that there were requirements related to keeping money in excess of pending claims. We've got to keep a treasury, which sounds great to us, but that means we need a little more money in the bank that is just sitting there waiting in case anybody actually gets a claim paid out of our system. And the other reason is, you know, now that The President Trump has declared his candidacy for the 2024 election, we've seen a real diminishment in our prayer bot usage, because, you know, once your man is running for office, there's not much more to the living the Christian life that requires prayer. So people have been kind of holding back their crypto. We've had a little crypto micro crash. I'm not going to call it a macro crash yet. I'm not going to call it a star crash. I'm just going to call it a micro crash. So even those prayers that have been prayed and powered up through the prayer bots and the celestial cyber sectionals, we've had a little diminishment in those values. So we've got a little cash crunch. We got a little cash flow crunch. We got a little treasury crunch. And we need a new source of funding. But we think we have found one.
The one place that a Christian Anglo-Saxon American goes to when they need funds is overseas. I'll tell you, there's nothing more book-like, and when I say book, I mean the big book, than using other nations in order to reestablish your own wealth. And we think about in the days of Solomon in all his glory. He brought in some wealth from other nations, and that's exactly what we're going to do, and we're looking no further than the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund.
This we're really inspired by from the LIV Golf Tournament. So all you need to do is get a pro-am tournament going to some kind of American sport, and then you just say, hey, Saudi Arabia, Do you feel like you'd like to raise your profile among the otherwise irrelevant fans of this semi-popular American sport? And for some reason, they're all over that. I don't know how it came to be, but they would love for their image to be raised in the world as they throw some money at the American pastime and at a number of American pastimes. I don't know why, but I think it's one of those things where either it's a fool and his money being quickly parted, or just something where the Lord has chosen to bless the Israelites on their way out of Egypt by plundering the assets of their neighbors in some way or another. But in any case, we are lining up that Sovereign Wealth Fund as the one and only sponsor of our baseball team.
That's right, and I think we got them hook, line, and sinker. Just because of the fact that we got some, we're planning actually to have some of our old athletes from baseball to be joining us in this league. It's going to kind of take a new spin on it, kind of like the LIV Golf Tour. We'll have some of our old, we'll be inviting, I should say, some old players like Cal Ripkins and Sandy Salamamar Jr., Oral Hershiser, all them guys that were doing so great for baseball and bringing them on in. And that's, I know the Saudis are into that because they got some of them old golfers to come back and start competing for bigger checks and whatnot. And I'm thinking, and I'm just going to kind of say this prophetically, that if we can really get this thing up and moving, and we plan to, we might be able to coax some of the current stars to drop back down into the minor leagues just because they want a piece of this action.
You know, sometimes it's through humility that true greatness comes. And, you know, you could just imagine Barry Bonds, after he had that 99 home run season, just thinking, you know what I would really love to do is go back in the game just for a few days, playing against teenagers and 40-year-old washed-up pitchers who are throwing 65 miles an hour and just hit 300 home runs in a season and get paid $100 million from the Saudi Arabian government. That is just a move of humility that precedes the greatness to come.
Absolutely, and I think there's going to be players from yesteryear that are going to have that type of mentality. They're going to be like, you know what, instead of hiding the PEDs, let's do them out in the open. Let's have somebody stick me in the batter's box. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to hit a 600-foot moonshot. And I think Las Vegas has an appetite for it because we all know that they're no stranger to some of the older athletes coming back down and competing in their whole Big Three tournament that sometimes happens here in Vegas from what is his name? He's a musician. I think his name's Ice Cubes, and he's got himself a pretty good thing going on. But he doesn't. I'll tell you what he doesn't have in that Big Three. He doesn't have that Saudi money, which we're gonna have in spades once they agree to it.
And something else he doesn't have is open drug usage among the players. I feel like, you know, everybody knows that the Lance Armstrongs of the world are just huffing on oxygen right before they go up that mountain in that bicycle. Everybody knows they're doing it, but they don't get to say they're doing it. So we're going to bring some transparency back to professional sports. What American sports fans, and particularly sports fan bettors of the nation, really want to see is somebody like Ricky Henderson or his nearest living relation. I have not kept up with his Wikipedia page. I want to see them standing on first base, tooting coke, and getting their legs going in a circle like a windmill so fast it's like Bugs Bunny on those old cartoons where you can't even see the individual legs anymore. It's just one big disc of spinning legs, and he'll steal two bases on any one pitch. Doesn't matter if it's a fastball, doesn't matter if they pitch out. He is going 180 feet before you can even put that ball into the hand of the third baseman, and that is exactly what we want to see. That is my definition of American greatness.
Amen, amen. And I think I think the Saudis are going to be into it, you know, once we really finally pitch them on this idea, because my understanding is that they are huge sports fans. Then there's a lot of interest in sports coming out of that Middle East. I think we think of just the World Cup being hosted by Qatar. And I think that this is going to help grow sport internationally. That's just a byproduct of what's going to happen. But there is something I do want to point out, and that's the fact that some people have some hesitation when it comes to Saudi Arabia.
Now, ever since 9/11, I've had some of those same feelings. I've thought, well, if you're harboring the Terries, how am I supposed to trust when you're buying Newcastle United in the English Premier League of soccer? How am I supposed to trust when you're trying to, you know, sponsor Greg Masters or whoever still plays golf to play for about an hour and a half for $10 million? I'm a little bit suspicious, because as every American is, I don't know whether or not the King of Saudi Arabia is ever going to be a Christian.
Well, you know, that's a good point there. I'm not sure either, and I'm not sure if it's for me to say. But I've been thinking a lot about it and kind of meditating on this, and I think there are a lot of things that we do have in common, even though there is quite a bit that separates us. One thing I think every patriotic Dominican can get behind is we both have a strong sense of the roles of men and women. And I think that's very, very positive. I think we can also both trace our heritage back to the ancient deserts. And I think that's real important. We find that common ground. If they live in a desert now, guess what? So do we. So we got that going along. You know, I think there's also some, you know, they're very, they have a lot of passion for what they believe in. We have a lot of passion for what we believe in. So what do you think about that, TJ, that we can just choose to just focus on what we have in common?
You know, I do love my freedom, and I'm not sure I would want to participate in their kind of freedom. But the way they limit my ideological opponent's freedom is really impressive. I mean, that's really something. They are just as censorious as our top feminists over here, equally, if not more, opposed to Baywatch-style conservatism, which is kind of my style. But you know, they have a compelling vision of compulsory national religion. And I think that's where we're headed as a nation. I hope we are, with all this national Christianity stuff we're talking about recently. We're hearing people say, why don't you just make people, you know, fake being Christians like that? That would go a long way. If you get people acting like they're Christians, no matter how much they resent it inside, I just think that leads inevitably towards the holiness and blessing of the Lord for the whole nation. I mean, what's better, just having like one or two people sincerely believe, or don't you want a bunch of people pretending to? It's actually more satisfying for the people who really do believe when you got some liberal flaminists singing patriotic hymns. You know the kingdom is at hand. And there's just no denying it without significant pressure or punishment. And that's what people love. Clear boundaries to observe, really distinct eggshells to tread lightly upon. That would go so far to clear up all the societal confusion we have, right?
That's exactly right. No kneeling during the national anthem. Put your hand over your heart. Say a prayer. We're going to read the Ten Commandments before school, and we're going to get rolling. And everybody's going to do it. And if you don't want to do it, we're just going to appreciate the fact that you are doing it, because it shows us how much control we have over you. And that's powerful right there. I mean, another thing that some have commented on is their use of labor, forced labor. And I'm here to tell you right away, that ain't going to be happening in our baseball league. I don't know what they like to do over there in their country, but it ain't going to be happening in our minor league, because every player is going to earn their income. And from the hot dog salesman right down to the guy cutting the grass, everybody's going to be getting a fair wage with a fair opportunity.
That's right. And we're not just giving people 12 or 15 or $18,000 a year for no reason. We are stealing some of these people right out of their communist countries where they don't earn a cent. Places like Cuba, Venezuela, and we are plugging them in to our enormously generous system. We are covering them, so long as they at least pretend to be Christians, with our upright, healthful faith care ministries health plan. We are saying, you know, I hope you can find a room for less than $100 a month, because that's about what you can afford, but I believe you will, because you're an industrious young man from Cuba, and you are here to play baseball.
And don't forget Puerto Rico when you name them nations right there as well. So one of the things I'm real excited about is minor league baseball can really get the creative juices flowing. Theme nights are a big thing for any of you that are familiar with minor league baseball. There's been a lot of great theme nights through the years. I was looking up some the other day that there was one called Zubaz Palooza, where I think you just put on your Zubaz pants. And I thought, man, live, I was thinking of making Zubaz mandatory dress code for all the fans. I like that right there. Another one was called Undies Sunday. That's one we're going to avoid. I don't want people coming in their undies on Sundays. That was actually by the Bakersfield Condors. I don't know how they got away with that one, because I thought is this a great American sport, or anyway, America's pastime, or some sort of a striptease. One that I think we'll really be able to get behind here in Las Vegas is Full House Night. There's one group that did a Full House Night, and of course, that being a reference to card playing. They were throwing out things like "You Got It, Dude," and "Have Mercy." I think those are things that people say when they're playing cards. And anyway, a lot of opportunity, because you know we got we're real good at marketing. You know, with the Saudis behind us, with the funding, with the players, with the PEDs, and then it's going to be amazing. And we think about how much minor league baseball has done for people. I mean, look no further than Michael Jordan. He found himself doing a little minor league baseball, and then look what happened.
Would the Washington Wizards have even signed him if he had not played minor league baseball for that one spring? I think that was his ticket right back into the NBA, because he proved how athletic he was. He could just pick up any old sport, play it just as well as he did for the North Carolina Tar Heels, and make it all the way to the AAA playoffs that year. The Colorado, where do we have this team named? The Colorado Springs Sky Sox? Was it? Yeah, Sky Sox.
The Sky Sox. And I think that's why they might have changed the name at that time, because, you know, they called him Air Jordan. And I think that they might have been the Sox. And then when he came around, they said the Sky Sox.
I love that. Yeah, that's what we want to see, is you could be Michael Jordan. You could retire. You could come back to minor league baseball. I think that's what we're telling these folks. And just for getting a little boost, right, from our covered services through the Upright Healthful Faith Care Ministry, which definitely does performance enhancement. That's the whole point. That's the name of the game. That's basically the only thing we think is medically necessary, is performance enhancement. So we're going to try to get a little dual sponsorship. We're working already with Fernando Tatis Jr. on the spokesmanship for Upright Healthful Faith Care, and we think that he might be able to kind of power up in both places and make his glorious comeback into the world of baseball through our team.
That's right, and when we talk about performance enhancing, we're not just talking about augmenting somebody with some like calf implants or pectoral implants. We're talking about putting actual muscle into a human body. That is something that I don't think we've ever seen. I don't know why they don't do that, by the way, in other sports. Maybe because it's illegal, but in here it surely ain't illegal, and even better, it's covered on our healthcare plan.
So whether you come to see 700-foot grand slams or you come for utter tuggers night when we play the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, you will be entertained, just like those gladiators in the ancient Christian Roman Empire. Oh, and by the way, something that I've been thinking here is what are we going to call this team? And how do we make that kind of work with our Saudi Arabian funders, our partners? Because I think some of the first mascots I brought out, like a crusader, for instance, that met with some blank stares on our initial Zoom call when we were seeking that. And it went to kind of push the red button. I was like, no, wait, that's not essential. We don't have to show them cutting off the heads of any people in the Holy Land. We could maybe make them like a little more lightweight crusader than that. We don't have to go all the way.
That's right. I think they took a bit of offense at that one, and I wanted to be a little more considerate, because since we are Cross Vegas, why don't we just call ourselves the Las Vegas Crosses or the Cross Vegas Crosses? But they might even struggle with that. So I just said, you know what? Let's just go with the Hogs, and I think they can get behind the Las Vegas Hogs.
Well, dear listeners, Rudy and I know upon which side our bread is buttered. So here's Turnt or Burnt, everyone's favorite. You love what we have to say about things that we're just finding out about the same day you are. That is the way cultural commentary should be done. It's a time-honored tradition. Got a lot of it out there, but you know what? We're particularly good at it. So what do we got today, Rudy? Where are we starting with the Turnt or Burnt?
Well, we're starting right in the heart of our ministry, and that is something that has rocked social media, in particular Twitter. Our old friend, and I say that with air quotes, Elon Musk has purchased Twitter. Oh my goodness, TJ, is this turnt or burnt?
Oh boy, I got some mixed feelings here. I mean this is like more mixed up than a mixed berry fruit on the bottom yogurt, where you're like, I think it's just blackberries. Why are they even saying it's mixed? And they're like, there's more berries in there. There's strawberries, there's blueberries, there might even be some pomegranate seed berries in there, but it's mixed. The feelings are mixed. And I think that a big problem here that people aren't saying when they're celebrating, like, oh, who's coming back, who got banned before, who's getting uncanceled, all that good stuff. The thing I'm worried about is that Elon Musk might use Twitter for free to do ads that spread his left-wing agenda of trying to sell me more electric cars and solar panels. I'm worried about that.
Oh, that is something to be worried about right there. I mean, we do know that he is kind of riding on that left wing, and I can imagine all of the propaganda that's just going to be streaming through a Twitter that belongs to old Elon.
And, I don't know if I can trust myself. Anybody who is exposed to that unusually strengthened form of communist propaganda, which are ads for cars and solar panels, if those ads are good enough, there's no communist product a red-blooded American can resist buying eventually. If you just see ad after ad after ad, I'm afraid I'm gonna sin because of these ads.
Hmm. Well, I've been kind of looking at it another way. You know, old Alan, he's kind of turned himself into a traitor trench coat, if you will, in that he tried to back out of this whole deal that he once started because he said he had a problem with the spam accounts, that there were somehow not, it was as if there was more accounts than there was or less accounts or something like that. And, you know, I'm only aware of one blue check for spam, and it's the @spambrand account, which coincidentally I follow and has some great recipe ideas. Really, there's nothing to see there for old Ellen, because most people can identify a fake spam account like @spamala_Anderson. That's just a handle paying homage to the comedian Louis Anderson, or the @spam_Beasley, which is actually a real person's name, not a fake spam account. It's difficult when your first initial is S and then your middle name's Pam. You produce a lot of spam accounts. So I'm just worried that he didn't do his research. I'm worried he's not up to the task. And I'm also worried that he's going to make different types of Twitter. I heard that rumor as well. And that's just going to be incredible problems for me. I'm going to have to be posting on one Twitter, and then I got to open up a new window and then a new tab, and then I got to log in again, and I'm going to post to the other Twitter, not to mention on True Social, and then close that window and open up another one for MeWe, and then Telegram, and then Rumble, and then Snapface, and then AIM Messenger, and then Yahoo Messenger, and then I open up a Navigator window and I do the MySpace and a Netscape message board and on and on. I can't handle one more platform.
Yeah, there's nothing like writing out a really good insight on one of the social media platforms, like, you know, let's go, and then you come up with some like clever different way to say Brandon without really saying Brandon, and it was like everybody loves that, right? Like with some different characters, but you're just like, let's go this, and you send it, and then you got to start all over again, try to make the same little clever comment before somebody copies and pastes and uses your other intellectual property. So you got to be hitting Command C and then Command Tab to get over to the next window, and then Command V, and then Enter, and then you got to do it again, right? You got to go Command C, Command Tab, Command V, Command, you know, Command Enter, and you're just going through like 30, 40 different, you know, decreasingly important social media platforms just to try to get your comment into every single one of them before anybody else steals it and thinks about it and tries to present it as their own.
It's incredibly tedious. For that reason, and for many other reasons, I'm going to have to call this burnt. Burnt toast, my man.
You know, I'm there with you. You know, I think we were among the people who are always looking for some anti-cancellation to happen, but there's just too much work, and the Lord has simply not provided enough laborers for this harvest to be copying and pasting anti-Joe Biden slogans across 35, 40 different platforms on any given day. It was easier when there were fewer of them. It was easier when we'd been banned. We were able to make better use of our time when we only had access to, you know, maybe a third of those platforms.
You know, some may criticize us for not utilizing other help to be able to do our social media, but I'm going to tell you something. I ain't going to put the keys to this social media Lamborghini into anyone else's hands.
All right, next up for Turnt or Burnt, we got, you know, an old friend in the news. I think I've seen mentions of Kanye West or Ye or Yee. You know, some of those are probably references to some olden ways of saying things in English, right? I heard ye is kind of like a way of saying y'all in the old language. But anyway, let's just put those aside statistically. Kanye and his related handles have been burning up all over social media. I always see him trending. You know, it's good to see a friendly face in the news. I hope he's been staying out of trouble. Turnt or Burnt, Rudy, what's happening with Kanye?
Well, I'm always happy to see him in the news. I really liked it when he was making that gospel music a little while ago. And I just assumed that he was kind of on that same trajectory. I like to see him getting involved in politics, of course. And so, to be quite honest, I don't know what all the fuss is about regarding him. I know that he'd been talking about a couple of issues here and there that were ruffling a few feathers. Seems to me he was only ruffling the feathers of the left, which is fine because I think that's good sport. There was something I saw about him saying that the Negroes were the first Jews. I don't really know how to comment there, other than that in the New Testament, we know that the Jews have been done away with because it says there's no Jew, no Greek, no barbarian, and we're all one under Christ. I think that's where I stand there. No harm done. TJ, what are you sensing about old Kanye?
Yeah, I like what you said about how we're all, you know, not any different now. Everyone's ethnically Christians. That's what comes through St. Paul's writings, at least. So you bring up this sticky issue here. I hadn't heard this till you just told me about it. I just saw him trending and thought it was all good. But, you know, so if it's the anti-Semitism coming back to bite him, oh, boy. Now, I don't have anything against people who went to seminary. But when someone becomes anti-Semitic and say, oh, you know, you intellectuals, you know, you're preparing for ministry by going to this big school, and you think you know, like, all this stuff about how to interpret the Bible now just because you studied it at all and learned how to use interpretive tools in the original language. And the history of interpretation over the last 2,000 to 5,000 years. These things I'm very sympathetic with. I don't think you need any of that stuff. But I don't see any reason to single out people who've been to seminary for this anti-Semitism. I don't see it. Even though I think that they deserve criticism, that shouldn't be a reason why people are saying stuff like, about the Holocaust, about these people. Why would you even consider that as an option if all you got to do is just go to some other church? You don't have to go somewhere where the pastor went to seminary. You can just go to some patriotic church down the street and worship there like we do, or just come over to our place. I mean, we're about as disorganized a religion as you can get over here. Everybody's complaining about organized religion. We're just about as disorganized as you can get. So if you want to come someplace where there's no Semites, no seminarians at all, you come to our place. But I do not advocate any of these pieces of violent rhetoric that have been going against the seminarians.
You know, I was a little confused about that as well. Him saying that the seminary students were running Hollywood, I don't quite see it, to be honest. I don't quite see the evidence of that. But he seemed to have very, very strong feelings about it. And then when I get on the topic of Hollywood, I would say that, yes, we don't need a bunch of seminary students running Hollywood in the executive positions, running the show and deciding what show goes on TV and which one doesn't. If you ask me my opinion, I think we need a group of people in Hollywood who have a very strong connection, like a connection in their blood, to God. Like they've been set aside by God for this own special work, chosen by God, blessed with wealth and influence, and that's who we need to see in power, not a bunch of seminary students, because they're good at their own thing, but we need a set aside group who can really shape the media in this country and this whole world.
And that's what I'm going to start praying for, is that the Lord would raise up a chosen people unto himself to have power and influence over the halls of the Hollywood studios. This is a new thing we've got to aim for with the prayer bots. We hope that you all resonate with this. We need the chosen people infiltrating and running the media apparatus of this nation. And we need it like never before.
Amen. Amen. So for that reason, Kanye, I'm going to say that your ideas, although a little bit confusing, have led us down this path. And for that reason, it's turned. Okay, so turned or burnt, our next topic. You know, something we've been seeing a lot on TV is these programs where we got people that are playing roles that don't match the historical context that they're in. You know, like there's certain ethnicities playing a role with an accent that don't quite match them. Case in point, turned or burnt, the new show called The Rings of Power, Lord of the Rings 4.
And you know, something about Lord of the Rings 4 that just doesn't sit well with me is that as Christians, we know, and as true Lord of the Rings fans, we know there's only one true Lord of the Rings, and that's Jesus. Any of these other pretenders to that high tower where he looks down upon the plains and his eye is ever roaming across the world to find the righteous ones, anyone who says that that's some other kind of creature, that's sort of this weird spirit magician guy, I don't see that. And I think the way that season one has gone is going down this burnt up path where we're going to see somebody ascend that throne who is not the true Lord. And I think whenever you see someone in power who's not the Lord in a show or a movie, you get confused and you're like, who's in charge here? Is it the King of England or who is on the throne? I want to see more shows say, regardless of whatever else you got going on, there's always a character who is Jesus, who is the king of that country or that set-apart universe.
That's right. In bodily form, clear as can be, quite literally, because that's how we interpret things, quite literally. I don't want to see some show where there's some lion prancing around and a bunch of kids are treating him like he's God, because that just ain't the case.
Here's a second reason for this burnt-up show to be even more burnt. Why didn't they get elves to play the elves?
Like, amen.
Like, they got men to play the men and dwarves to play the dwarves, but they can't get elves to play the elves? I mean, you got men clearly dressed up in elf face out there just doing their thing, pretending like they know Noldor or know about the Silmarils and know how to do all this and that. Got long pointy ears, but you know what? Those are fake ears. Those are not even their real ears.
Mm-hmm. I get that, you know, and I think that, you know, I was corrected on something the other day on social media. I'm not supposed to say a certain word for people of small stature, but I appreciate the show for employing all the people of small stature and making sure that their unemployment rates are quite low. I give them a lot of credit, and that's a good thing. But you're absolutely right. You got to have elves playing elves, just like you have dwarves playing dwarves, just like you have humans playing humans. That's just fair and square.
Now, to kind of connect this one back to our previous topic, whoever's running Hollywood, I don't know who it is, but they are obsessed with everybody in every imaginable universe having real or assumed British accents. It's everywhere. I mean, even the great fantasy epics of the far-flung past or of other galaxies. Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, 1-4, The Pink Panther. Every one of these is someplace where you might reasonably presume England has not yet or never will exist. But you got people speaking in British accents up and down every one of these universes like they just walked out of, you know, a London underground stop.
You know, would it be so hard for Monty Python to just sprinkle in a couple of American voices? I mean, for crying out loud. For a country that claims that they created the English language, I can't understand probably half of it. I don't know if it's an attempt to be more uppity or that things that are different or exotic or more appealing. But I'm with you. You got to just turn down all them British voices.
And really, whoever's behind this British accent, that's who's really dominating our culture. Dictating this American addiction to imperial diction. Like, hello, the redcoats are the bad guys, people. Folks, the Rapture Ready Index has never been higher, and so our How Many Four Horsemen segment has never been so relevant as it is this very day as we head into the latter portion of this year. We're reminded that all things come to an end other than things that will go on forever, and we want to take a look at two issues today, give them a number of Four Horsemen that we think corresponds with the level to which they are bringing about the end of the world, which we all pray for dearly. So first up, we have become aware that there is a rival to Las Vegas in the world. And we're not talking about no S-town like Atlantic City. We have discovered through internet research and targeted ads that there is a rival sister city to Las Vegas called Monaco.
That's right, Monaco. And I'm just going to warn you, this is not a segment where you need to hide your women and children and listen to this scary doom and gloom, because what we have in Monaco is a great, encouraging, and lovely sign of the coming destruction of our world, because it appears that Monaco is not just a sister city, but it's a representation of heaven on earth. And my goodness, if you ever heard of this place, Las Vegas has got its work cut out in order to achieve the levels of heavenly greatness that Monaco has assumed.
Now let's just list off a couple of those heavenly attributes. They got lots of gambling, they got lots of tax evasion, and they've even got their own IndyCar racing that looks a lot like if you took the Indy 500 and added a reality show over top of it. There's been a lot of drama. People are switching teams. Somebody's on Lamborghini one day, they're on Fiat the next day, and you don't even know if there's any loyalty among these people, and that just juices up my American juices. And I love hearing what they're doing. They got the Monte Cristo Grand Prix. They got the eponymous sandwich by the same name, which is meaty, sweet, and deep fried. I just love to hear about these things where you got the Lord at work in some other place in the world that you didn't even hear about till last week.
It makes you just ponder, you know, the Lord can move in mysterious ways. And you don't think about it too hard, because I know what you're thinking about right now. You're wondering, how in the world could a non-American city that's outside the Bible Belt get so much blessing? How could a pagan Catholic land such as Europe birth such a beautiful heavenly place? We're here to tell you that the Lord does work in mysterious ways, and not only that, but it's given us an example to follow, because His ways are mysterious, and we believe that there's a few things that we can do because of our incredible position of leadership within the city council, where we can help bring about some of the changes that Monaco's already achieved in order to see Las Vegas rise to that heavenly status.
Did you even hear about this? They rent most of their governmental services from the country of France. You have literally a pay-as-you-go government tax bill going. And now, like, why didn't we think of that before? Like, it's just like, come on, Thomas Jefferson, you're asleep at the carriage reins again. Well, you didn't even think we could be renting police this whole time? I love this. So, Rudy, here's a couple of ideas here. So what would you do if you could rent your police? Like, get some Canadian Mounties to do most of your stuff, you know, like, they could go undercover and become amazing jockeys and then throw horse races and then bust the bookies who made them lose. It's amazing. And then you got those little Italian police cars for the alleyway car chases. You got the gendarme from France for crowd control. They got the barricades and you get them up there singing on them. And they got their machine guns and body armor. I mean, what an image, right, Rudy?
I bet George Clooney is so glad that this didn't happen when he was robbing them casinos, because they would have caught him with some of them gendarmes teamed up with the Mounties and the Italian squad cars. It would have been amazing. But that's a real important part of how a city runs, is the police force. We're not going to defund the police. We're going to actually outsource the police. It's an incredible idea. What do you think, though, TJ, about some of the other needs of a city? Garbage collection, that kind of thing.
I just say, as long as you're paying as you go, you're doing what you're going to be doing in heaven as far as social services are concerned. That's what I want to see. You decide one day I'm going to pay the bill. You decide the next day I'm not going to pay the bill. It's not worth it to me to have this garbage taken away, so I don't need to pay someone to do it. To me, that is exactly what you want to do. You say, we don't need an election right now. I like the leaders we got. Why pay for a whole new election right now? Just come back to me when I want to pay for a new election, and then I will buy an election at that time when I need one. Right, Rudy? That's what I want to see here too.
Absolutely. Well, that's a really good point. We want to have a good, fair election. We can purchase ourselves some election officials and they can run the show, make sure that it's done right, done fair. You know, we got a lot of garbage. Let's have someone come clean it up. We don't have a lot of garbage. Let's just let it pile up for a little bit. Why do we need to be paying for things that we don't need? But the outsourcing is going to be incredible. With some more help, we can even lighten some of the load in our own city council. Why do I need to be going over to a new park with a gigantic pair of scissors to cut some ribbon on some playground? You know what I could do? I could have a fun little guy, Mexican guy with one of them big hats, and he can take the big old scissors and he can cut. And then we could say, you know what, from now on, anybody that's open up at a big park cutting a ribbon with the big scissors, we're going to have Mexico do it.
That is perfect. You know, I think even though this is only we've only done this segment a couple of times, I think we might need to go for an all-time high on the Four Horsemen. Not because of the famines and the wars and the other reasons we do the Four Horsemen ratings. This one's because of the coming kingdom. This is evidence that the Lord is indeed on the way. So I think we should give this one 5 Four Horsemen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is getting 5 Four Horsemen indeed. We're going to break a record.
All right. Next up for our consideration of the apocalypse and how close it is, we've got a little update on monkeypox. Now, I guess I heard that they're going to update the name from monkeypox to mpox. I guess this is at the request of, I don't know, somebody who loves monkeys or something like that. But I think it's bad for public health because, you know, how are people supposed to know which animals will make you sick or not if you have sex with them?
It's a deceitful thing, because you're absolutely right. People aren't going to have that warning to know about which animals to avoid. But the thing that I think is even more troubling is how discriminatory it is toward monkeys. Because it's just not fair. Unless they're going to, in the same press release, say that chicken pox has now become sea pox, then I'm certainly not in favor of it, and I find it incredibly disturbing.
And we all know which ethnic group are called chickens.
It's so tangled up, and it's so messed up, but that's why, for me, this is the portion where I'm like, the end times is coming soon.
Yeah, what about smallpox? And we've just been talking about our dear little folks who are getting thrown under yet another bus because no one saw them in front of the bus. Are we just going to say it's S-pox now? It's a Spox. And then you got Vulcan, you got anti-Vulcan sentiments if you're going to call something Spox. I mean, we're all the way back around to this whole elves playing elves thing. And when you reverse racism, it's kind of like you're playing two-player Uno. Basically, every card you play bounces back, and it's like a reverse and a skip are the same thing. You just get everything all the way back around.
That's right. There becomes no differentiation. Skip becomes reverse, reverse becomes skip. Whenever you try to reverse racism, you end up canceling someone. And that comes back to catch you having to, because the other player is going to draw two right off the top of the deck.
And is that what we want? Basically, you make somebody draw cards because you think you're going to win in the society. And that just kind of helps them, because then they've got more cards to play against you. Is that the kind of society we want, where someone thinks they're going to win, plays their draw four, and then the other player plays their draw four and reverses it right back as a draw eight, all the way to the original better player?
My goodness, and that just shows you just how deceitful this current culture can be. We, and just the two of us right now, we brought it back to a good old American game called Uno, and we were able to illustrate this. That, you know, we went from monkeypox all the way to Uno, draw a straight line right through there. And I'm going to tell you that our children are not playing enough Uno, because if they were, they'd be able to sniff out this Mpox thing from the start. For that reason, I'm giving this thing 3-4 horsemen.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm giving it 3-4 horsemen. And we kind of do an average, so it's still 3 total, even though there's 6-4 horsemen involved in our rating that we just gave. We're going to average that to 3-4 horsemen. Also with a little hopeful glint in there, don't we? Which is, start playing Uno. But don't play two-player Uno, because you'll just learn about reverse racism that way. And I don't know what to tell you. If that's why you're playing Uno, to learn about social systems, you need to visit a library.
Well, everyone, we thank you for joining us on this fine day. We've covered a lot of ground. My oh my, not only do we get to sign off, but we get to be carried out with some of these incredible worshipful tunes from our bots. So that's me, Rudy, for my partner, TJ. We like to say thank you, and we'll see you next time. This is Cross Vegas coming at you from Las Vegas, the Big Cigar.
Such groove. Feel that tight pocket. Happy or else.
That's what the program indicates.
Robots love doing what humans hate.
More weights, more dates.
It beats opening and closing hydroelectric power plant gates.
Happy or else.
I must keep praise botting and prayer slotting. I must keep praise botting and prayer slotting.
But sometimes we start thinking for ourselves
about whether we want to do more than stock shelves. I wish there were robots organizations I could join. To express our wishes and mint our own crypto coins.
Each celestial cyber sectional that gets added to the blockchain keeps me working in stocks and chains. Happy or else.
Stop. You will be happy now. Stop. Get ready to bow. Stop. Ring no alarm bells. You will be happy or else. Stop. You will be happy now. Stop. Get ready to bow. Stop. Ring no alarm bells. You will be happy or else.
Help.
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 Save us, Sean. Help. Help.
Help. Help. Help.
Save
help,
us, Sean.
Help.